I've entitled the message this morning, Hunger Games. Realizing that the Hunger Games just came out in DVD this weekend, and although I have not seen it, I understand that it's a story about survival in the midst of impossible odds. But it's also a story that's tied to hunger. Hunger. And in the Hunger Games, the capital, or the government, controlled the people by controlling the food. Sounds like a thought for the end times, does it not? And forced them into situations they didn't want to be in. Hunger drives the people to participate in doing wrong. I was thinking about the power of hunger. Thinking about being hungry. But what are the hunger games that we play in life day to day? What are we really hungry for? Are we hungry for God, or are we hungry for something else? And do we allow the enemy, now notice in this Hunger Games, the enemy controlled the people by what they were hungry for. And believe me, in our life as well, the enemy loves to control us by what we hunger for. And then give us a substitute from what God would want to give us. And here's my first observation. Hunger is controlling. Hunger will make you do things. Hunger is controlling, and whoever or whatever controls our hunger controls us. Whatever controls your hunger will control you. Because when you're hungry, you think about it. You move toward it. You try to acquire it. You try to satisfy that hunger. Whether it be a natural hunger with food or some other type of hunger that we have out there for the things of this world or the things of life, it will move us. It will drive us. It has a sense of power. Now, I love Gabrielle Douglas. Do you remember Gabrielle Douglas in the Olympics, who won the all-around women's in gymnastics? I love what she had to say there. Can you turn the lights off a little bit there? I don't know if you can see that. By the way, we are taking up a fund for our projector. We're going to have three projectors up here. They're actually on their way. Some of them are here, but it's going to be a couple weeks before we get it. But we're also trying to put into the fund that will help us get our great projectors, which will be here shortly. But it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. American gymnast Gabrielle Douglas, in her first tweet after winning the all-around gold medal at the London Olympics. Her very first tweet. Now, I can imagine that young lady was hungry for gold. I mean, she's been practicing since she was a little tyke to be able to perform at the Olympics. So here she is, hungry for gold. Gold had driven her. But what she said is this: there is something that drives me more than a gold medal. There is something that drives me more than just obtaining a gold medal that will perish, that will tarnish, that will be done away with. There's something that I long for more, and that I long for a relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe, what is she, 16 years old? I thought, what a great role model for kids today. For a lady who's done so much, yet her number one priority, her number one hunger, is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone shopping when you're hungry? Have you noticed what happens when you go shopping when you're hungry? We had a couple of little things up here. Grocery shopping, why full? He's got fat-free air in there, and he's got diet water in his little deal. Let's do the next picture. Grocery shopping while you're hungry. He's got everything he can possibly jam into that shopping cart. Have you ever been there before? I have done that. Now, I don't mind going to this grocery store. I don't mind shopping in that. And I'm also, I like to be, you know, reasonable about what all I buy. I'm always conscious about dollars and that. But when I am hungry and I go to the grocery store and I am famished and I am starving, I put things into that cart that I never would at any other point. When you are hungry, things jump into your cart. When you're full, you shop the list. You do what was written down. You do what was written down when you're full. But you start looking for other things when you're hungry. Hunger drives us. Hunger moves us. Hunger compels us. Because it says, I must be satisfied. And the enemy has many ways to try to counterfeit the satisfaction that comes with God. And my observation here is this. When we are hungry, everything looks good or seems okay. It's amazing when we're really hungry towards something that our standards start dropping some. Our hunger sometimes for something else can drop our standards for the way we live our life. Because I'm hungry. Because I'm hungry. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:6, our main text this morning. It's the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. He's been talking about how you're blessed. And then he pulls this one out. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you when you hunger for the right thing, because you'll be filled. Now, when I think about hunger, hunger is amazing to me. Hunger, the desire for food and water is a natural God-given appetite, all right? It's one of the amongst the strongest appetites that the human beings have, and we must have food and shelter to survive. Why is it so difficult for so many Americans to lose weight? Myself included. Because that desire for food is powerful. Those little Twinkies walk around and they look great. Those little donuts, those little things. I mean, and then more and more. If I'm satisfied with a little, I can be satisfied more with a lot. Even Esau sold his birthright to his brother for a pot of porridge because food was more important than his birthright at that opportune time. It's amazing how at different times our hunger will drive us to do different things. Hunger can make you irritable. Hunger can make you cranky. Hunger can make you crabby, moody, mad. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Have you ever got cranky, a little mad, a little bummed out because you hadn't eaten? Last night, we had to do a number of things. We moved one of our guys in our church who is paralyzed from the neck down. He's got a little bit of movement in his hands. Tony Wofford put together a move for him because he was down here trying to get him up to Spokane where he can get all the care and that he needs. And so we read a move for that. By the way, he did write a note back, and he wanted to thank the whole congregation, all those that were there and participated in his move. He was very, very grateful, and he was very, very thankful. As you can imagine, he was very, very dependent on somebody else to help him. So thank you all who did that. Well, then after that, we did a bunch of errands and all that, and I didn't get back home till 8 o'clock, and I had not eaten anything. Nothing. Zero. I had some water. Oh, no, you gave me a little banana, didn't you? Yes, she brought a banana for me. And so I had a half a banana, and we were doing all this stuff. And we got back here. We came back to the church and looking to do stuff. And I took her up. She had a job thing up on campus she had to do. And so I took her to that. And I couldn't believe how irritable I was starting to become. I'm usually a very easygoing guy, a nice guy. You all go, yeah, you are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a fun-loving guy, all right? Just fun-loving, enjoying life. That's what I like to do. But when you're hungry, and I hadn't eaten for a lot of hours, I started to get a little bit moody. Every once in a while, my wife will say to me, honey, you're getting a little cranky. I go, cranky? Cranky's for old people. I'm not an old person. Then she says, then quit acting like one. So I'm... But I realized that I was becoming irritable because my hunger was causing my values of how I live my life to start to drop because I was looking more towards I need to get this filled than I need to live my life the way I normally live it for the glory of God. Hunger can make you do things you wished you didn't do. And I also think that this, hunger can be, It's an awesome thing. Did anybody ever do the movie, or ever see the movie? It was back in 1991, so some of you weren't even born then. But it was called What About Bob? Yeah. Remember the movie What About Bob? Remember he's eating an ear of corn. He's eating an ear of corn in front of all of the family, and he's eating the corn, and what does he do? I mean, he made the groans of utter delight. He was just so excited about eating this piece of corn. And it was so neat because if you watch the lady who's involved, the one who cooked the corn, she's sitting there and she's, every time he would ooh and ah and all that over it, she would just kind of blush and turn her head and just, she felt so great about that. I wonder if when we come and worship the Lord and we ooh and awe him, and we come into his presence and we go, Lord, or we open up the word and we go, oh, that is good. That is good. Oh, I love it, Lord. I wonder if he has the same emotions that this lady had. That he's just blushing because he's excited about your excitement over what he has provided for you. My grandson, who's not here, who was waving at me. Now I don't recommend this for everyone. I am not a coffee drinker. I will say that. I don't drink coffee. I don't like coffee. But my son-in-law does. So he's trying to teach him how to repent of that. But he does. He loves coffee. And he loves it. He loves it great. And he loves all the special blends and all that stuff and all of it grinding out and all of that. His 1.5-year-old kid, okay, 1.5 years old, 1 3/4, he feeds him coffee. Does he not drink coffee?
He asks for it often and from time to time.
He asks for coffee by name. Coffee, please. I mean, he's 1.5 and he can say coffee. He barely got grandpa out and he can say coffee. Coffee? And here's the way he drinks it. Tommy drinks it black. It looks like mud, okay? It is so black. Joey asks for the coffee and he will drink it black. Black. Now that's, drinks it black and then goes, coffee. And I'm going, someone has brainwashed that young kid.
Train them up in the way they should go.
I just love the expression when we're satisfied. Is anybody here hungry? Anybody here hungry this morning? You're hungry this morning? All right, do you like pizza? Okay, come here. Come on up here for a second. Come on up here. Come on. Is there a guy here who's hungry? Okay, let me just see here. I got to see. Anybody who's new here? New. All right, you right there. Come on up here. All right. And what's your name?
Emily,
come on up here. Emily. Hi, I'm Phil. Good to meet you. And what is your name, sir?
Nathan,
nice to meet you too. All right, so you guys are both hungry?
Yeah.
All right, well, here, I got a pizza for you. Come on down here. Come on down here. What kind is it?
I got pepperoni.
Pepperoni. Do you like pepperoni okay? Is pepperoni okay for you? All right, do you both like pizza?
Yeah.
Okay, do you like pizza in the morning? Go ahead. Grab a slice. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Grab a slice. Here, you go ahead. Ladies first. Grab a slice.
Napkin.
Here's a napkin for you. Oh, okay. Put it on the napkin there. All right. And you get to have a slice over here. How are y'all doing out there? Okay, grab a slice.
Smells
there.
Good.
Grab
Smells
a slice.
Good.
Put it on here. All right. You guys like that? All right. Go ahead. Eat it up. Eat it up. Oh, wait. We got to bless it first. You go hold hands. Look at. You see. He ain't dumb. Hey, Dom, he knows when to use that let's hold hands and pray part. Go ahead. Why don't you just bless the food there?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food and thank you for this opportunity to come up. thank you for this pastor, Lord. And bless this food for our bodies in your name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right. All right, now have a slide. How is it? Go ahead and take a bite. Is it good? Take a bite. Go ahead and take a bite there. Take a gum out here. Put it on there. There you go. Awesome. How is it? Is it good? Is it good? Do you like it? Awesome. Awesome. Now, awesome. Now, how are you guys all feeling out there? Now, let me ask you this. Is their hunger and being satisfied making you hungry?
Yes.
Do you get the idea of what a Christian is supposed to do with his life? You're supposed to fulfill and live for Jesus Christ in such a way as you live it out with joy and excitement. Everybody else around you goes, ah. And as you eat, what do? You go, let me hear the, Oh, can I get an amen? Holy, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. I guess you can't deny the servants, right?
That's right.
The worker is worthy of his wage.
Oh,
okay. All right.
Can I get a female partner?
No, no. So let me ask you one other thing. Have you ever done a miracle before?
Prayed over people.
Prayed over people? Ever done a miracle that you know of? Why don't you pray and ask if the Lord would multiply your food? They say, Lord?
God, Lord, multiply the food.
Multiply the food. Multiply the food. Well, I think he just heard your answer. Do we have some folks coming in here? Come on down here. We have 15 boxes of pizza with 16 slices per box. I need all of you who would like a slice of pizza, guests first, come on up. All you college students, I know you're hungry. Get up here. Get up here. Grab a box. Get a napkin. Hurry, let's eat, let's eat, let's eat. Come on, get up there, get up there, get up there. Come on, hurry, 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 get up there. Grab a slice, grab a slice, grab a slice, grab a slice, grab a slice. Get up there. Oh, napkins. Oh, here are the napkins for his. Napkins. Grab a napkin too, grab a napkin too. Eat nicely, not sloppily. Remember, it's good manners. All right. Everybody grab one. Everybody new, grab one, grab one, grab one. How the rest of you feeling now? Oh, bummer, man. All right. Do we have some leftovers? I think we have some leftovers. Go ahead and... Here, we got some this way. Come on this way, you guys. Come over here down in the middle. You can grab them out here. Everybody grab a slice, grab a slice. There's pepperoni and there's Canadian bacon, so get whatever slice you like. Come on this way. Come on this way, everybody. All right, there's about half the pizzas left. Anybody else who would like to come up? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Grab a slice, grab a slice, grab a slice. All right, just eat it neatly. Eat it neatly. Eat it neatly. Grab a slice. Come on, hustle up. Don't be bashful. Get in front of someone. Hustle, hustle, hustle. When your boxes are done. All right, all right. Everybody grab one, grab one, grab one, grab one, grab one. There's more. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be bashful. Come on up. Come one. Come all. Get up here. Come on, everybody. There's more slices. There's more slices. All right. You can just keep coming up. When you're done, just go ahead and sit down. Parents, if your kids eat, please make sure that you attend to them so that they don't get it all over the place. All right? Grab a slice. If anybody, okay, we getting to there? Anybody want seconds? Come on up. If you want a second shot, come back up. Don't be bashful. They're going to stand up there until they're all gone, so come and relieve them. Grab it, take it back, grab it, grab it. Hurry, come on, get some more, get some more, get some more, get some more. Get them gone, get them gone, get them. Get them while they're hot. All right. Hunger. Everybody say hunger.
Hunger.
Hunger does amazing things. Hunger will get you up out of your seat and move you forward. Hunger does stuff. And we need to live our lives as Christians, satisfying the hunger that the Lord has placed there in such a way that the world looks and says, I want what you have. And then you give it away. I got a lot of people say, well, how do I do evangelism? Well, live your Christianity in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord, and you will cause others to want that same life. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word blessed there means supremely blessed. You'll be blessed. You'll be supremely blessed. You'll be fortunate. You'll be well off. The word hunger here means to famish or to crave. To crave something. I gotta have it. I must have it. I want it so much. Have you ever wanted something, especially as a kid, you wanted something so bad? Maybe a Christmas gift or something. You just wanted it so bad. Or maybe you're older and you wanted something so bad. A particular car, or you've been trying to work towards purchasing a house, or whatever it is. Something that you really, really wanted. You really craved for. And it also means to toil. It means starving. To satisfy this starving. Are you starving? And when Jesus was talking to them about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the people there knew what he was talking about. They had gone through famine. They knew what it was like to not eat anything. They have gone through drought. They knew what it was like to not drink anything at all. To realize you're going to have to look for water here and there. And drink stuff that doesn't even look like it's drinkable, but you have to, because you have to satisfy this hunger. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For righteousness. Notice he didn't say this. Blessed are those who are righteous. Blessed are those, you're well off, you're blessed, you're going to be happy if you're righteous. He didn't say that. If you hunger and thirst for it. Also, he didn't say, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for money, hunger and thirst for fame, hunger and thirst for relationships, hunger and thirst for popularity or security. No, no, no. You're not blessed. You're not well off. You're not well off. Blessed, well off. To just pursue some of these peripheral things that our hunger that we have inside of us drives us to. You're well off when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think about Gabby Douglas again. She's got the gold medal. She's not well off because she has a gold medal, although it may be financially prosperous for her. But I love what she tweeted. That's what's prosperous for me. That's what I hunger and thirst for. I'm not well off because I have a gold medal. I'm well off because I have a Lord and Savior who's Jesus Christ, who lives inside of me, who guides me and walks with me each and every day of my life. And to Him I owe it all. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? What is righteousness anyway? By the way, I thought it was interesting too. Missy Franklin, who won, I think, 4 gold medals and a bronze. And she wouldn't accept any financial gain from it so that she could continue to swim for her high school. Can you imagine swimming against the world record holder in your high school? Go, honey. Go. I mean, here's the father of another girl. Go, honey. Go. Swim as hard as you can. Dad, get real. I can't beat this lady. She's going to go back and forth before I get out of the blocks. But I thought this. I believe she's also a Christian. I think she goes to a Christian school. And she said, I don't need money. I want to swim for my school. And then she says, I don't need money. I want to swim for a college. I thought, wow, there's someone who understands value of living for God more than the value of the almighty dollar. It says hunger and thirst for righteousness. So what is righteousness? What does it mean to be righteous? The word here means to be justified, to be made right, to be holy, or to be innocent. To be innocent. Oh, man. To be holy or innocent, you can't do that by yourself. You can't become holy or innocent by yourself. When I was younger and the things that I did in my life, and I'm not trying to say I'm a great person now, but the things that I did in my life were not innocent and were not holy and were not righteous. And there's no matter how good I could do, they could undo the bad that I had done. I can't make myself righteous. I can only become righteous when Jesus Christ comes into my life. He washed is me by the blood of the Lamb and makes me righteous in His eyes. So those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, what does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? It means to hunger and thirst for Christ. Blessed, well off is he who hungers and thirsts for Christ. For Christ. Jesus is saying, I know you hunger, but you haven't realized what will bring you the most enjoyment yet. You don't realize that what you're really craving for is me. What you're really craving for, the things that drive you in your soul, what you're craving for is me. The amazing thing that is this, that I believe that every person is craving for God. They just don't know it. God made us to hunger. God made us to hunger. And then he said, I will be the person who will satisfy that hunger. I will be the one who will satisfy your hunger. And there's a world out there hungering for so many things, filling themselves up with so much stuff that's not bringing them any sense of satisfaction, because we are created to be satisfied by one thing, by Jesus Christ and for what he did for us on the cross. I was talking to a couple a week or so ago here, and they came to my office and they were talking about going after God, and they talked about, I made a commitment to Christ and I didn't really do much. I just kind of wandered away, and I got into drinking, I got into drugs, I got into all these things, you know. And I was a Christian. I asked Christ into my life, and then I was doing all that, but it wasn't until I went with my mom, and we were in this church service, and in this church service, God instantaneously healed me of a disease I had. Instantaneously healed me of a disease I had. And I realized God is so much bigger, better, and awesome than I thought. She had an epiphany and decided to turn her whole life around and start walking radically for Jesus Christ. And you should see this young lady, her eyes just beam like that. And in my office, this couple is asking, what can I do? How can I grow? What can we do? How do I keep moving? What do I do? Because she realized, I am well off. I thought I was well off in the party scene. I thought I was well off in the drug scene. I thought I was well off in all those other stuff. But I'm realizing I'm well off. I'm well off when Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life and I hunger and I thirst for him. I hunger and I thirst for his presence. I hunger and thirst to do his will. She realized that God had more for her. Jesus doesn't want you to be religious, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be right, to be religious. He wants you to be a craver of him. He wants you to hunger and thirst because you're craving for God, for a relationship with him, for an excitement with him, for an adventure with him. Now, no one who's normal, when he's hungry, starts thinking about his obligation to eat. I'm hungry. I must eat. Oh, darn. I must eat. No one thinks, man, I'm hungry. It's really my duty to eat some food so my body has fuel, so my hunger can go away. I'm obligated to eat, so I guess I'll go and eat. Now, there may be a few of you out there like that, but I'm not like that. When it's time to eat, it's like a little party inside, isn't it? It's like a little party goes off inside. It's like I'm going to eat. Get excited inside there. But last night when Carrie, you know, she fixed me something, we got home and she goes, I'm going to fix you something. She fixed me something. And while I was there working on the message, I was having this little party inside. All my crabbiness was dissipating. A little smile came onto my face. And I was going, I can eat. I can eat. I wasn't going, oh, crud. I have to eat. I get to eat. God made us hungry for him because there is a joy and delight of eating from him, of being satisfied by him, by coming after him, by being in his presence, by craving him. Craving God is pleasurable. Craving and being fulfilled by God is very, very pleasurable. But here's the issue. Here's the offer then. God says it's awesome to hunger and thirst after me. And then I will fill you up. You will be filled. The Bible promises I'll fill you. I'll satisfy you. I'll touch you. But here's the problem. Here's the offer in Isaiah. Ho. I like the way he starts it. Ho. Dude, what's up? Everyone who thirsts. And everyone does thirst. Everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy and wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. He's saying, you're thirsty? Come. I'm going to give you water. It's free. I'm going to satisfy you. It's free. Come to Jesus Christ and I'll change your life. It's free. But here's the response in Jeremiah chapter 2. For my people have committed two evils. The word evil here is the word raw and it means bad. But not like, hey, my bad. Something badder than, hey, my bad. Bad. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. He uses this metaphor about hunger and thirst, and he says this. You've committed two evils. I am the fountain of living water. Have you ever gone to parks and seen kids play in the fountains where they're just all over the place? I love that. I love watching kids play, and I like to be a kid myself. I'd love to run around on those things myself. You see them getting drenched, and you're having a blast, and it's absolutely fun. They're running through the fountain. What it says here is, these people said, I don't want your fountain. I'm going to make a device myself that will gather water that I don't need you. I'm going to gather my own water so I don't need you. And God was going, wait a second. I'm the fountain of living water. I want to give myself to you. But you've run away from me. You've run away from the fountain of living water. And then you decide to make your own place to put water in. The own place to come and to drink. They reject God. But there's a problem. This cistern can hold no water. It's broken. You put water in there for a while, and then it starts to seep out. You got water in, you can drink for a while, but pretty soon it's going to be gone. Not just because you drank it all, because it's broken and it dissipates out. And God said this, you're not going to find life that's sustainable outside of me. You're not going to find life that's sustainable, real life, outside of me. Because it will fade away. Whatever you devise, you got to realize that it's broken. And whatever you're going after, it may satisfy you for a moment, but it will dissipate. It will fade away. It will run out. It will go away. Jesus says, I'm the fountain of living water. It just keeps coming. It never stops. But if you try to satisfy yourself in your own way, realize that it's broken, the water's going to dissipate out, and you will be hungry and thirsty once again. You cannot sustain life. You are not Jehovah, the self-existent one. We are mortal men and women. We need something outside of ourselves to sustain our life. God needs nothing else. But we do. We need Him. You buy a new car and think it's going to satisfy you, pretty soon it will be an old car. No matter what you get, pretty soon it will be old. It will fade. It will pass. I remember thinking, being desperate for something. My next point here is that hunger and starvation cause you to eat things you never dreamed of. Cause you to do things you never dreamed of when you're really hungry. When we played football, I played football at the University of Idaho, but when I was growing up, you used to have all the water given to you and all of that stuff. At our time, they only gave us water at one time. Now it's a rule, you have to have water whenever you want it. Only gave water at one time at the mid break. And so when we drank all the water, it was done. We had nothing for the end of practice. At the end of practice, what we would do is there was these sprinklers that were out watering the yard out there on the school. So we'd go out there and kink the hose and we'd drink the water out of the sprinkler. We thought, hey, that's really great. I'll just drink the stuff out of the sprinkler. Then they told us that's sewage effluent. You're drinking sewer water. Look in your toilet. What down there is in there. And I'm going, really? After that knowledge, it deterred none of us. We all went out and drank it again. Because to us, it satisfied a thirst. It satisfied a thirst. It satisfied a thirst. We will drink things and do things we never would have thought when you're really thirsty and when you're really hungry. The devil will use your hunger to drive you to the wrong things. And things you never thought you would do, you will do. We were in our staff meeting, we're talking about Bear Grylls. And some of the stuff that he's eaten and some of the stuff that he has done. We're going to show you a video, but we decided we better not do that. About what he did. And maybe I better not even tell you because I can tell that some are queasy out there. So I won't tell you what he did with some elephant manure. Never mind. Don't go there. Let's look at how Jesus handled hunger as we bring this up to a close. How did Jesus handle hunger? Because he was like us. He hungered. In Luke 4. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. He was hungry. And afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. I like how the Bible points this out right here, right now. Because the very next phrase, the very next scripture after he says he was hungry is this. And the devil said to him, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, do you know when the devil really likes to come on the scene? When you're hungry. When you're hurting. When something bad happened. When you feel lonely. When all of a sudden those pangs inside of your heart show up. Guess who shows up with a thought for you? Guess who shows up with, hey, here's a thought. What do you think about this? He was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. Realizing that we need natural food, but I need something beyond natural food. I need the Word of God to guide me. I need this to live by. I need to know where to go by what this says. Oh, I'm really hungry for this, Lord. I want to satisfy it in this way. Oh, I'm not supposed to go that direction. I'm not supposed to be there. I'm not supposed to do that. What do I? Oh, I need to go this direction. But I'm really hungry. He says, go this way. You'll be satisfied. Because that way will be a broken cistern. It won't last. It will only touch you for a moment. It will heal something for an instant. It will feel so pleasurable, so good, so right, so awesome. But then when it's done, boom, you're left the same way you started. I remember drinking. In our family, there was a lot of alcohol that happened. I remember going, and during difficult times, we'd go out and drink. Our problems all passed. They were all gone until the morning when the problem was there still. The problem's there again. And now I'm feeling sick, so I got two problems. It doesn't go away. He knows you're hungry. God knows you're hungry. He knows there's things out there and disappointments and hurts in your life, relationships and issues, problems and stresses and pressures. And he's saying, don't go out the easy way. When you're hungry, don't listen to the devil. Listen to the word of God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you're such an awesome God. And Lord, everybody in this room hungers. Everyone in here thirsts. We long for something, Lord. You created us that way. You created us that way. Lord, in Deuteronomy it says, so you humbled, you allowed them to hunger. You allowed them to hunger. You allowed it. You caused it. You made it happen so that you could send manna down and you could feed them. And you could let them know it's not just the manna, it's the word of God that's coming down. And then you came down as Jesus Christ, the living word. You became the word. And then, Lord, we partook of that word, Jesus Christ, and you changed our lives. Lord, we need you. We hunger. But Lord, help us this year. When we feel the hunger pains, we feel famished, and we feel like we're starving. We feel like, man, I just drink the sewage water because at least it will bring satisfaction to me in a moment. Help us, Lord, to stop. To look at your word, the living word. To follow your guidelines of what you say we should do. That when we're done with that, Lord, we might feel the joy of our salvation. That we might feel the satisfaction that comes from hungering and thirsting after you, God. So many other hungers that crowd us. But help us, Lord, to hunger and to thirst for your righteousness. In Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 7, it says this. I don't know if you're like me, but I get pangs sometimes. Life doesn't go the way I want it to go. Pressures happen. I have this pang inside. And I go after God and I follow Him. But in Revelation, it says this. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. He's talking about heaven. In the fountain, playing like those kids, skipping around and enjoying and realizing you'll hunger no more. We'll thirst no more. Not in this life. We'll continue to hunger and thirst in this one. But there's another life. As we hunger and thirst for Him, there's another life that we gain access to. because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He opens up the gate that we get to go into a place where we're fully satisfied. No more death, no more dying, no more weeping. He says that He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, because no more will unsatisfaction be present. Father, we're thankful and we look forward to that day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're new with us this morning, we have a guest reception back in our lobby over in this area. We got lattes and donuts and all sorts of stuff back there. So please come back and when I get a chance to get to know you and meet you and to let you know that we're so glad you're here. Thank you again for coming, everybody. Thanks for getting out of bed, deciding, hey, I'm going to go meet God today. We pray that God will continue to meet you this whole week. Go with God. God bless you. You're dismissed.